So this is just a crazy, crazy, crazy case of being drunk on power. Here's the governor of New Mexico declaring a public health emergency as a basis to invoke an executive order that bans guns in public.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those too. And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican, your rights are subrogated to theirs. And they are not, in my view.
Both open and concealed carry, so it doesn't matter if you're licensed, as part of a, quote, temporary measure for 30 days. And basically, it would apply to Albuquerque and the surrounding county, the metro area, basically. And watching this, I made the mistake of digging too deeply into the details and getting lost in the rabbit holes of everything going on here, the minutiae, when it's quite simply, first and foremost, brazenly unconstitutional. And it's probably a test to find out if this state and then other states can get away with it. I really think they're just testing the level of the response, but this is just out and out unconstitutional on its face. New Mexico is attempting to take away the right to bear arms without any due process. It's just an executive order and the governor seizing emergency powers based on her own opinion.
No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute.
In my view.
But on top of that, the abuse of power involved here is itself astounding. Using a health emergency to justify firearm restrictions that are protected in the Bill of Rights. A health emergency.
And I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time. I can invoke additional powers.
And her administration is citing a bunch of codes from 1978 health laws and twisting them to back a misguided, new, politicized plan against guns and drugs. Gun violence is a criminal act. It's done by individuals, groups maybe, but a health emergency? I mean, that's absurd. I guess employing the logic of mental health and self-harm to others, using words like epidemic next to the word gun violence or drugs, maybe that sort of, at least in their minds, creates a chain of rationale. But it's not one that stands up to any kind of scrutiny. A health emergency declaration to impose upon the Second Amendment. It's a response to one of drug gangs being strategically built up in Albuquerque in a rather pronounced way just in the last couple of years, making it now one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the country. And in addressing that, instead of getting into why this is actually occurring, the systemic problems of what's happening in this world, the governor's attempting just to use collective punishment to infringe upon law-abiding gun owners.
And I'm focused on everyone's constitutional rights, not just those the NRA says I should be focused on.
But I guess these governments are seeing what they can get away with in the slippery slope of emergency powers that have been evoked for a while, but particularly in the wake of COVID. And Governor Lujan Grisham admits that her emergency order is unenforceable and that it also won't be effective with criminals.
But
it will send a, quote, pretty resounding message. And the message is that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are not respected in this country anymore. The resounding message is that your freedoms are not respected, rights will be trampled upon when governments feel like it. That's the resounding message. Here's part of the bizarre exchange that occurred in the press conference about this when a reporter asked if it wasn't just out and out simply unconstitutional.
Wait a minute, though. You're talking about crimes. There are already laws against the crime. Fine, so how are their rights?
I got it, but again, if I'm unsafe, who's standing up for that right? Who's standing up for that right? If this climate is so out of control, somebody should do something.
Again, this is just a weird chain of logical fallacies and failed thinking all around. This is not really about tackling crime. This is about something else. This is about using an emergency as an excuse just to assume powers. This is someone who politically wants to do as much damage to the Second Amendment as they can, so they're abusing their power as governor to invoke an emergency in a case that doesn't even fit or make sense.
It's not just the NRA. Here's one other concern from the sheriff. Here's what he told my colleague Caitlin Collins last night.
In a couple of months or a year down the road, we're the ones stuck in court, and we're the ones getting sued over all of these infringement of rights and all these other court battles, when I could be focusing so much more on crime.
Firearm restrictions that are unconstitutional, that violate the protections of the Constitution, are apparently undermined by a health crisis that's not really directly about health in any sense of the word. It's totally twisted, and even her oath is an absolute, I guess. I guess she didn't mean it. Is that what that means? Rights are not based on the personal feelings and the personal views of those in power. They're rights because they can't legally be violated. They cannot be taken away without due process, which means the particular individual must have done something that is proven. The process in the legal system must have taken place. You cannot just simply restrict the rights of everyone. Jonathan Turley, the legal expert tied to George Washington University, constitutional lawyer, says the order, in my view, is flagrantly unconstitutional under existing Second Amendment precedent. It could also be a calculated effort to evade a ruling by making the period of suspension so short. I was thinking in terms of them renewing and extending the power, but maybe the opposite's true, that it's meant to be a short ruling so it can't be contested as easily. Amy Swearer of the Heritage Foundation says this is completely unconstitutional. It's also just logically nuts. Concealed carry permit holders aren't the ones driving gun crime, and now you're telling actual criminals they have free rein because their victims can't be armed. Yeah, that's the kind of logical fallacy going on here. Maybe it is little more than just a naked attempt at tyranny to see how far down the field they can get. I don't know. But honestly, the chain of logic and circular reasoning used to justify the emergency is also very troubling. Read the New Mexico Secretary of Health's public health order of September 8th, the one imposing temporary firearm restrictions and drug monitoring, and you'll see it talks about using the legal authority that supposedly comes out from a set of 1978 New Mexico Public Health Acts, as I mentioned, but also employing something called the All Hazard Emergency Management Act. It's a FEMA-related thing, and it maybe hints at how broadly the powers attempted here are. The governor's openly called to bring in the feds, to bring in additional federal agencies to help be part of this. They're claiming this health emergency with firearm restrictions is justified if a county averages more than 1,000 violent crimes per 1,000 residents per year since 2021, and more than 90 firearm-related emergency department visits per 100,000 residents from specifically July 2022 through June 2023. And at least that last part is worded so strangely in this official document about an emergency order that the threshold is met if there's 90 count per 100,000 during a time frame that has already occurred. It's defined, it's a closed set, it's not changing. So Albuquerque, the city that officially has 500,000 people and about 1 million people in the metro area, it is patently set up under this health emergency order for the Dr. Evil quote marked health emergency gun restrictions experiment. Albuquerque has been patently set up by the way this is written. Even if the city were to improve and things were to change overnight, Albuquerque is now and will always be the city that had statistically 90 firearm visits. Ah, the memories, you know, the summer of 2022 through the summer of 2023. You know, it's a number that isn't going to change, so it's really weird for the wording. It's a city that has gang violence soaring so much that it's become considered one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the country. And this is supposedly especially because of drug gang incidents, in particular related to fentanyl, and which, you know, frequently also involve guns in one way or another. That's the basis, really, of this health emergency. It's seemingly also just an excuse to impose arbitrary rules on everyone else, but supposedly it's about this sprawling gang problem. A problem that no one has solved after decades and decades. It's a systemic, ongoing, long-term problem. But here you've got a governor imposing a 30-day emergency as if they're just going to change this overnight. It's a very problematic abuse of power that New Mexico's health secretary himself basically points out is virtually poised to be renewed. Towards the end of the order, it talks about, quote, any subsequent renewals of those public health emergency declarations. They're already kind of built in. You could basically expect that since Albuquerque has high crime, and since it will always have the same more than 90 gun visits from this predefined past year, that renewal for this emergency order will basically be justified by default. And since they're disarming law-abiding citizens, and since criminals in general are going to be more emboldened, thinking that people are not armed out there, the violent crime rate threshold set forth in this document as a condition of the emergency, you know, I mean, it's basically built in to stay above that level no matter what. Every 30 days that this entire long-term systemic problem isn't fixed, this emergency would just go on and on and on. It makes no sense anyway, because it's a misapplication of a health emergency law, and it certainly doesn't justify infringing the Second Amendment. At best, it's collective punishment because a few individuals in a major city are committing crimes. But, of course, it stands to reason that they already knew all that before declaring this. That's probably why at the end of the health order, it states that, quote, should any provision of the order or its application to any person or circumstances be held invalid by a court of law, gee, I wonder which part of this health order they weren't so sure would stand up to scrutiny. I don't know. Should any provision of this order be held invalid by a court of law, the remainder of the order should remain in full force and effect. Just in case what I said was unconstitutional, remember everything else I said is good to go and this is all good.
Has any law enforcement officer in Albuquerque or the county actually enforced this yet?
Well, we haven't issued any civil penalties, but that doesn't mean that we're not and that we don't have the ability to do that.
But that's a no, right?
This is the pushback I get from every single, well, it's a no this minute.
It's basically just a reaction because the deeper I dug into it, it just looks like there's a whole agenda here. But on its face, I can't believe a governor is talking this way, that they've officially issued emergency orders that don't even fit the situation, and that they're so brazenly trying to violate people's rights without due process, without due cause, and without even a logical chain of reasoning that makes any kind of sense. I mean, come on.
My question to law enforcement is, where are you?
Mel here, and I just wanted to add that after Aaron recorded this video, it's only been 2 days, I think, and already a federal judge out of Albuquerque has issued a temporary restraining order blocking the key parts of Governor Grisham's executive order that would suspend open and concealed carry across Albuquerque. So this has already been struck down. There were, I think, 5 lawsuits that he heard about, but I'm sure there's more, and already now this has been temporarily blocked, and apparently this is a temporary restraining order that will remain in effect until at least October 3rd, because there's another hearing that's scheduled at that time. But the point isn't even that. She knew this was going to fail. She openly knew it when she did it.
You really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No.
She openly admitted that this was not going to stop crime because the definition of a criminal is somebody who breaks a law. So if you're breaking the law, you're not listening to the law. So this was not about crime or criminals who use guns.
I was completely shocked that rather than addressing the crime issue at its core, the governor decided to go ahead and go rogue and restrict law-abiding citizens from owning their guns. And for those of you that don't know, we have an extremely tyrannical governor that has destroyed our beautiful state with her failed policies. Our crime is out of control. We have fentanyl death as an epidemic. Homeless are living on the street. We have a revolving door for crime. They're out in our communities. We're ranked the worst in education, healthcare, and crime. We're the worst of worst on all the lists. And just when we thought she could not get any worse, she went completely rogue, said, hold my beer, and I'm going to illegally ban guns for 30 days. And I don't know if she's either willfully defiant or does not have the mental capacity to understand the Constitution and her oath. But either way, she's unfit for office.
But it was such an obvious, blatant, flagrant, egregious, insert more adjectives here, get out your thesaurus and pour them all in, overstep and abuse of power, that the question has to be, why did she do it?
And I'll tell you, if you're a young person, you're not allowed to have a handgun.
Well, it's a crime already.
I got it. But we won't be able to arrest all of them. So imagine, just in a perfect world, if this was upheld, it gives all of these police officers the ability to focus on the real criminals.
She openly admitted when she was doing it that this was going to fail. We know this is not a way to have a debate by doing something this clown show ridiculous. And she knew, for a fact, this was going to get slapped down by the terms of her own state's constitution. Because if you look at the New Mexico Constitution, Article 2, Section 1 of Article 2 straight up states that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land, meaning there is no higher law. That is it. Section 4, inherent rights. All persons are born equally free and have certain natural, inherent, and inalienable rights, among which are the rights of enjoying and defending life and liberty. Specifically in their constitution for their state, it says defending life and liberty. Right there. And then Section 6 straight says, right to bear arms. No law shall abridge the right of the citizen to keep and bear arms for security and defense, for lawful hunting and recreational use, and for other lawful purposes. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way an incident of the right to keep and bear arms. No law. And it says right here specifically for security and defense. Those are the first reasons. Hunting and recreational use and other lawful purposes comes next. The first main purpose of this is security and defense. Okay? So this is the Constitution of New Mexico that she is supposed to be the governor of. So she knew through and through and through, backwards, forwards, up and down, diagonally, in every way, 360 degrees, that this was not going to fly.
This is something that I see bipartisan opposition to, with the governor doing incredibly unconstitutional things like taking away our Second Amendment rights. We saw Ted Lieu, her former member or her former colleague in Congress, even going after her. We saw David Hogg going after her. And there's not a single Democrat in the state House or Senate who has gone to support her in this unconstitutional power grab. And I don't think I've seen anything like this before.
Right. But she did it anyways. And she went on the national news media and made herself look silly, knowing that this was going to be, that there was no way that this was going to fly. So the question that I have for you guys is why? Why do this? You know, it's not going to do anything to advance the idea of using public health emergencies to thwart people's rights. You know, it's not going to work. So you're not gaining ground on that. No ground was gained. But it does feel like a chess move. It feels like something called a sacrifice in chess. It's where you do something to get rid of a piece for purposes down the road, for a play you're setting up later that has something to do with some other situation. And so it's very off-putting to the opponent in chess because, well, usually in chess, people don't want to lose pieces. Like, that's kind of the whole point. You want to keep your pieces. So sacrificing a piece is a little bit psychologically disarming for the opposition, right? Because that's not what you're supposed to do in chess. But also, it's a move that is done to set up a play later. And I'm just wondering what the play is here. Because like I said, this does not make any sense. She openly is doing something that goes against her state's constitution. It goes against her oath. It's not going to work. It just makes anybody, in fact, if anything, what she did, it actually sets a precedent more like governors cannot abuse public health orders and executive orders to thwart people's rights. So maybe that's what she was going for, enshrining in stone that that's not a possibility. Maybe she's actually on the opposite side of all the stuff she's claiming. I mean, I don't know. I'm asking you guys, because there's something about this that doesn't make any sense. And I've seen people have theories like, oh, well, maybe this has to do with states' rights down the road, some stuff they're going to do with that. I don't know. But on the face of this, it makes no sense. And usually when something is done in this very public manner that on the face of it makes no sense, it ends up making a lot of sense later when it's part of some other intricate thing that nobody thought about at the time because they were too busy focusing on the thing itself and not the future of what the thing itself is being used for. And we've seen that a lot. We've seen that a lot, especially in the last 22 years since September 11th, we have seen that. So that is the question that I think we should end this report on. Thank goodness that we're still living in a reality where at least the base level of understanding of how inalienable rights works is still at play here. But the fact that she even tried this at all is, it's just so beyond the twilight zone of like, what the hell is going on? Okay. There's something else happening here. And Aaron pointed out, I don't think he said it in this video, but he said it to me after he recorded it. He said, did you know that this woman was actually on the short list to be the vice president for Joe Biden, aside Kamala Harris? I didn't know that. This is somebody who has some aspirations, okay? This is somebody that's up in the power structure in a way that not everybody is and is pulling this level of, you know, Shakespearean fail. So maybe we should be thinking about that in terms of what's coming down the road.